Justin, last night was the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl?
Yes,
Super
sir.
Bears.
And I think, and I'm going to need your help with this.
Okay.
I think 2025, the 2025 to 2026 football season is the year that I get into football.
Don't.
Oh.
It's ruined my life.
And why is that? Explain.
Well, are you going to become a Bears fan?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay, okay. Then fine. Great. Go for it.
Okay, what do you, okay, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the deal. After spending time in Philadelphia in December, my friends talked a lot of football with some of the Philly natives.
The Beds.
Yes. And I fuck with the attitude that Eagles fans have.
Okay. Okay.
They have this like kind of scrappy attitude about like they don't have elegance. Do you know what I mean? They just have passion. They're just like, we're going to fucking kill you guys. Do you know what I mean? In a way that, yeah, like it feels like the Chiefs are like, well, I hope it's a good game. It's like, we're going to fucking kill you guys.
Yeah.
Like, you
literally. I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah. Literally. Like some of their fan base, like in their stadium. Like if I was an opposing player, I would not want to go to Philly. Yeah,
yes. And I like that. I like that a lot. It's scrappy. It's fun. And I think that I could. Here's what sports has been missing for me that turns out it's always had is like characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like heroes and villains. And I think that the Eagles have both.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, the one thing that I am like endlessly just shocked by with sports is so like the storylines that they come up with these things.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of ridiculous that they do create their, like, heroes and villain characters, their arcs, their seasons, their whatever. And, like, they just, it's all done through, like, the media reporting on these people. These guys are just out there playing a game. And then they get microphones shoved in their face. And then people start doing all these, like, crazy commentaries on, like, what they're doing and who they are. But then some of the players are truly insane. And, like, they also add to their own, like, lore and do, like, crazy stuff. Like, it is, like, it's hard to believe that these are real human beings.
Yes, but also not in a way that like fucking sucks. Like if you've ever watched like any like interview with like a fighter, do you know what I mean? Like someone like an MMA fighter, a boxer, whatever. I'm like, oh, actually, fuck you. Like, I don't even want to root for you. I hope you get killed. Yeah. Not killed. You know what I mean? Like, in the ring.
Murder.
No. You know what I mean? Like, whereas, you know, the football players definitely have that. But from what I've seen, to a lesser extent about like, oh, this guy fucking sucks. Like, and it's not because not every single guy is like that. You know what I mean?
And I like how also there's like the different position groups have like different like personalities too,
like
just based
right?
on like the reputations. Like the Bears were on Hard Knocks, right? And they had like cameras in the wide receiver room. They had cameras in the quarterback rooms. They apparently couldn't have cameras in the lineman room, in the offensive lineman room, because they're just so like vulgar as human beings, and like what they were saying, they couldn't even like be put on like air with what they were just talking about. But like it's like there are so many, and I think football is one of the. It's like the great melting pot of America. You have a bunch of different people thrown together in these locker rooms from all walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds, and then they're just forced to like be a team together.
Yeah.
Like that's America right there.
See, that's the thing is I think right now I'm going to like in between right now and when the season starts up, I'm going to watch all of Friday Night Lights to kind of like get get the vibe.
Yeah.
And just like watch The Blind Side a bunch of times.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah. Right. The white savior version of football. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like that guy was like, hey, I don't like that movie.
Yeah. It's not my life.
He's like, they made me look like an idiot.
Yeah. Like, I read. Like I can read.
Yeah. That in the movie he couldn't read. That's fucking crazy. Anyway.
Have you ever seen The Longest Yard with there's two versions of him, but one is with like Adam Sandler.
No, I was thinking of The Green Mile.
No.
Yeah, I was like, what?
So no, like okay. Adam Sandler plays like the MVP quarterback who has like a drug problem or whatever, and basically he gets in like a position where he gets put into jail for like reckless driving and all like drunken disorderly conduct and stuff like that. And basically,
oh, this is a comedy.
It's a comedy, and basically he has to like put together a football team to take on the prison guards football team. And like, he's trying to get all the different people in the prison to like come together and be like good football players. And they're all like loony, zany, quirky characters. Nelly's in it. You know, the rapper Nelly. So
The rapper Nelly's in it.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, see that.
You know, I do.
If you want to see what true American football is, watch The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler.
I'll give it a shot. I mean, you got a great cast. You got Terry Crews in here. You got
okay. He plays Cheeseburger or something, and like basically his whole thing is that he just has cheeseburger puns whenever you see him, and he pulls out random McDonald's cheeseburgers, and he does his little Terry Crews dances and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in here, right? I like an old school Adam Sandler.
Oh yeah, I mean it's like your typical 2000s comedy, right? Like it's not politically correct. It's not a movie I would say like my children should watch. But like for someone who's into football, like who wants to become into football, that's the football you should watch.
Okay. Also, huge budget, $90 million, made $191 million. So like a huge win for Mr. Sandler.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, half his movies, he just basically puts on like a Hawaiian shirt, walks around with a beer, and is like, yeah, I'm Adam Sandler. And he makes like billions of dollars.
I've never been like offended watching a movie before. That's not true. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I was offended watching. I was offended that I have spent time liking Marvel if they were going to do something like that. And then also in Jack and Jill, they go to like a Lakers game. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen this?
It's such a bad movie.
And they green screen them onto the like court side, basically. And like you get like a shot of them like turning around and like looking at the people like up above them. And it's like literally just them in front of a green. You can tell like it's like a flat image that they're standing. It's horrific.
Yeah. But Al Pacino in that movie.
A Dunkachino, rather.
Oh.
It's Hitbox! Everyone, welcome back to Hitbox episode number 231. My name is Peter Hunspitek, and joining me as always is my wonderful friend and co-host Justin Makovich. Before I ask you how you are, Justin, I need to do some housekeeping. Alert. We're taking 2 weeks off. I'm gonna be in the Philippines starting tomorrow.
It's in Asia, guys.
It is in Asia.
Just want to let you know. I knew that the whole time.
So when you revealed to me that you thought it was in South America, I was like, no, it's in Asia. I know where it is in Asia. And then I looked up where it was in Asia and I was like, I was way fucking off. I thought, you know how like Greece is like mainly islands, but it's like connected to Europe.
Yeah.
On like the landmass. I thought that's what the Philippines was. And I was like, that place doesn't even exist.
Right there. Yeah, no.
Like, I don't even know what I'm thinking about. Like, it just like, I was like, that's
You were
India.
Thinking about South America, probably.
Yeah, probably was thinking about South America. So I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. There's just no way for us to do an episode for the next 2 weeks. So there will be a little bit of a break there. Additionally, going to be a break in our Patreon coverage as well because of all that. So we will, I believe this is uninteresting, but like, I believe that like the payments have gone through for this month. So in March, it will be, you won't have to pay for March if you're one of our deluxe Patreon producers.
And we'll do something extra special in March for you too.
Cartwheels.
And I'll write you a Valentine.
Oh, kind of fun. Justin, you doing well though? Other than I know you're gonna be just like sobbing the entire time I'm gone, but
dude, I was so sick this week. Like
you were
famously.
And you don't want to get sick.
And if I am sick, I go to work. Like my whole thing is that when you are sick, you go to work. So when you're not at work, you don't have to be sick. You know what I mean? Like you want to be healthy on your day off. And when you're sick, it's not a day off. So I like my whole team has been coming down with something, and I think I caught that something. So I'm sitting there like masking up for like the first time since 2021, like trying to like not get other people sick, but also so like people just didn't see how bad I looked. I wish I had like something for my eyes too, because not only was my like my face just gross, but my eyes were like just sunken and like I looked like a dead man walking. So like I started like Thursday, I woke up and I was like, and like as the day kept going on, it was just progressively like I can't words aren't coming out. And then like at night I was like, I can't go to work tomorrow. Like I can't, I got to sleep. I got to like rest this off. So
yeah,
good thing I called it because I probably slept for about hour increments that night. And then I finally got some good sleep around like 8 a.m. And then I feel better. I have a lot of drugs in me. I finally started to like feel like myself this morning.
I'm glad. I mean, I saw you on Saturday. We had a
you had an engagement party. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. It was like, think of the words. You came masked up as everything. And I was like, oh, Justin's not feeling well.
No, I gave you a chicken wing instead of a hug. Let me tell you, I had a struggle. Like when I came over, you had a root beer float bar, by the way, which yes. Freaking awesome idea.
Not bad, right?
It was pretty good. So I had that. And then I'm trying to like do the root beer float thing, which was the perfect thing to have. You just like slip it under the mask. And just do the like under the mask with the root beer float. So I don't know if you did that for me or not. I want to pretend you did, and I really appreciated it.
It was all for you, my friend.
Thank you.
Justin, here's a preview of what's coming up in the news this week. Some kind of interesting stuff going on. GTA is still coming out this year, according to Rockstar. The PlayStation Network disappeared for a while, and a new Arkham game is reportedly in the works. We're going to talk about those headlines and more, but before we do, I would like to tell our listeners that they can join our Discord server. The link to that is in the description of this episode. They can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/hitboxpod by becoming a $1 podcast producer or a $3 deluxe podcast producer like Jay Knoll, GKS, or Josh Durham every single week. Those deluxe podcast producers get an additional 30-minute bonus episode. If you cannot support us monetarily, that's fine. If you want to join the ranks, again, patreon.com/hitboxpod. But if you can't support us there, that's fine. Follow us on Twitter at hitboxpod or rate this episode in your podcast player of choice. Justin,
yeah,
will you join me in the Metacritic Roundup?
I'm coming in.
Metacritic Roundup.
Justin, two games in the Metacritic Roundup this week. First game, Rift of the Necro Dancer. This is the follow-up to Crypt of the Necro Dancer, a game that I have played. I didn't play the entire thing, and I honestly played more of the Cadence of Hyrule section of it, where you play as Zelda and Link, and it's all like Zelda-themed. It's one of the only like licensed Zelda games not made by like Nintendo, other than, of course,
your favorite
Zelda, The Wand of Gamelon.
That, I mean, that game is 10 out of 10. I mean, must play.
It's
find it. Yeah, if you must.
You have to play it. You must.
You have to.
And Link Faces of Evil, or the Zelda's Adventure. Anyway, on the personal computer, this scored an 80. It is unscored on the Nintendo Switch, though it will be coming there as well. And it comes out. It's already out. So there you go. Justin, any interest in Rift of the Necrodancer?
Not really. I mean, what is there a different like conceit to this versus the Crypt of the Necrodancer? I mean, I'm looking at some of this gameplay. It looks a little bit more like a DDR type of Guitar Hero like setup.
So it is fully different. So Crypt of the Necrodancer was, I think, like a roguelite, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it's not. Maybe I made that up. But it is a basically a rhythm-based
puzzle.
Like a Zelda game, yeah, basically. Yeah. Like top-down Zelda game, where you would you could move on the beat of the music and you can attack on the beat of the music, but then also your enemies move and attack on the beat of music and everything like that, which is kind of cool. But Rift of the Necrodancer.
Patapon.
Is that what you were mentioning? Patapon as well earlier. Is that a rhythm game?
Patapon. Yeah.
Okay. This is half a visual novel and half like a rhythm game, like Guitar Hero, where you basically have like three like lanes on screen, and then the enemies are sort of coming at you on the beat, and you have to time it out so that you are hitting the enemies on the beat. It's actually very interesting because I saw my coworker Christian play this game. We talked about it a little bit, and something that I really appreciated about Hi-Fi Rush that not a lot of other games like rhythm games do is it was actually interested in rhythm and not just being a metronome. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah. I honestly felt like when I played Hi-Fi Rush, one of the reasons I liked it so much is because it was like something that was teaching me like beats in a way that I understood rhythm games, I think, more than I usually did, because it felt like I was actually, like, playing it.
Well, it gives you more to do than just, like, being... It's like, there's just not a metronome simulator, you know what I mean? Like, so many rhythm games, rhythm action games, rather, are like, ba, 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 you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Hi-Fi Rush gave you the quarter notes and the half notes, so you could like do your combos, but you'd have to actually time things out and kind of come up with these like, little rhythms yourself, which I thought was very cool. When this game first started and Christian was showing me this, I was like, oh, okay, it's just a rhythm simulator, a metronome simulator, unfortunately. And then I was like, oh no, things are landing on the and beats, things are half notes, things are quarter notes, like eighth notes, like this thing is really, really intense and very complicated. And so you've got people saying too, like, hey, this is like hard, like as a rhythm game fan, this is quite difficult because it does like take advantage of so many pieces of what makes music interesting. Does that kind of make sense?
A little bit. Can you just, I'm kind of stupid with music. So a metronome game is you just hitting a beat, right?
Yeah. So a metronome is basically just hitting every single beat on the beat. So usually songs are in, it's called 4/4 time, where you count to four and then like that is the entire measure, and then it starts back at one. So it's like 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4. And so in a game like Crypt of the Necrodancer, like the first one, or Metal Hellsinger, which was like a Doom rhythm action game, basically you're just attacking on the beat, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, right? That's like the when you're hitting the buttons, whatever. Hi-Fi Rush, you know, added half notes to that, so instead it'd be like 1 3 4, 1 3 4. That 1 2 that it implied two, that's like a half note. It lasts for two beats, right?
Got it.
Rift of the Necrodancer is using things like 16th notes, or like rather like eighth notes, so like 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and right, or having you attack on the offbeat, so it's on those ands, so you'd be like which is difficult. Like that's what drummers have to really focus on something like that, because their hands are doing, you know, like the sticks are doing a lot of different things at different times, hitting different beats, whatever. That is not typical of like rhythm games, because that's challenging, right? That takes a lot of skill and practice to be able to do. And rhythm games, you know, you want to be playable and fun. So like a lot of games tend to be exactly on the beat like that. So I was really surprised. So this game seems kind of difficult. It's kind of cool. I think it's not really my thing, as much as I do love a rhythm game. I wasn't really sold entirely by like the visual novel-y stuff, like aspect of it. But I mean, the music is quite good, but.
Do you have any other examples of like, rhythm games instead of metronome games?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
Hi-Fi
Rush was the first one that I played that I was like, oh, this is kind of like doing something interesting with it. I mean, like Guitar Hero and Rock Band aren't exactly metronome simulators, right? Because they are following
the music
loosely to how a song feels. But, you know, they do tend to be relatively straightforward in terms of like what they're actually asking you to do. But also, like I said, yeah, they're following like legit songs, so it's a little bit different because you're not just like trying to find like da 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 da, you know?
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. I'm just trying in my head to think about the different games that like fall into that, but I mean, I'm no musician.
Rhythm action games. So we got Hi-Fi Rush, obviously, Metal Hellsinger. That is what I would call, rhythm like, action like metronome simulator. Sayonara Wild Hearts I haven't played, so I can't say how that one feels. A lot of these are not, like Trombone Champ is not. Thumper is a rhythm game, but Thumper uses
buttons and your
it is a rhythm game, but it also like it's very interesting. It uses very, very odd key signatures. So basically like it's interesting.
It's challenging.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Beat Saber, but again, that's not like an action game. Like that's Guitar Hero. Patapon is on here, but I've never played it. Theatrhythm? That's the Final Fantasy music game. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, there's a Final Fantasy music game. I've never played it, so I can't say. DJ Hero.
I used to have the DJ Hero soundtrack, because those songs were fucking awesome. Because there's just a lot of like mix-ups of like good songs together.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. LimeWire.
BPM, Bullets per minute is another one of those that's like very just like on the beat kind of games. But DDR, I'm really bad at it.
I think that's kind of cool that this is a little bit of a different genre. I mean, it looks like a cool visual style from like separate from Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yes.
And that's just a cool way to have another type of game in this series, or like a rhythmy game that is interesting, I think.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Justin, also in the Metacritic roundup is Sid Meier's Civilization 7.
Score
an 81 on the PC, unscored on the Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS5, PS4, and Nintendo Switch, though it is coming to all of those platforms. Basically anything with the screen. Scored an 81. Are you a quadruple X game fan? What does this tell you?
When I was a child, I went to the Best Buy, and they had the Civilization 3. So I come home, my little 11-year-old self, and I'm like, I'm going to fucking play this Civilization game. Open it up, and there's this, like, this thick textbook associated mm-hmm. with it, with instructions. So I open that thing up, and I'm like, the fuck am I reading? And then I put the game in, and it's like, what the fuck am I reading? I'm barely able to read this. And I'm just sitting there, clicking all these buttons, not knowing what I'm doing. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go back and read The Hobbit, where things make sense. So yeah, only experience of playing Civilization 3 was me being extremely overwhelmed at the age of 11.
Okay, gotcha. I'm not really one for these types of games. Which is fine. I know that these are totally people's, like, the people who play these games really like these games. I can't exactly tell if this is, like, a good one or not. I mean, like, it certainly seems like a fine new Civ game. You know what I mean? Like, if you've been, playing Civ 6 for however many years and you're looking for something new, you know, obviously I think this is gonna go over well.
I would say, arguably, it's bad. Hard to say. Or
these
not
games have
innovative.
Such a reputation, for scoring well and doing really well. And it seems like a lot of people are saying this is just another one, but
just another one. There's nothing innovative about it. Like, I mean, I'm going back to the other one. Civilization 6 was an 88, 5, 90, 4, 94. Civilization 3, 92, 94. Like, again, not that an 81 is bad, right? But like for a thing like Civilization, like, you expect a top-tier, high-quality kind of game, and this one just seems to be, it's more.
Yes, 100%.
I'm looking at that box for Civilization 3, and I am having nasty flashbacks. Not in a place I want to be right now. I'm in a dark place.
Was it one of those things that had, like, it was, like, the cardboard box?
Yeah, and then it would be under my bed. It was that and Diablo 2 before I understood that Diablo 2 is totally my shit. Yeah. I just couldn't play it.
I'm sorry, little Justin.
My illiterate ass.
You'll play Diablo 2. Dude, that's the thing. Me, when I was a kid, like, I would not read anything in video games.
We're
like, oh. And, like, you know how, like, games used to, like,
be
hard. Hold your hand.
Yeah.
Games now, like, you cannot read stuff and you'd be fine. I played, like, Morrowind. I'm like, where do I go? And I'm like, I just didn't read anything.
Can you imagine, like, I would be, like, if I was a child, I understand kids and their addiction. I would be so into Dota and League of Legends.
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh yes. I'm like fighting off a Marvel Rivals addiction.
Like, I know, it's problematic. Like, and like, imagine when you had all the time of youth. Our younger listeners out there, enjoy it. Hopefully you're listening to this while you're playing Marvel Rivals. Maybe you're playing Civilization 7. Is that the one that's out?
It is 7. The one that just came out. I'll tell you this. I know that as I'm editing this, I'm playing Marvel Rivals. So what's up, Peter? I hope you're doing good and competitive.
I'm very impressed. Do you have a third arm? I understand what I said.
I just have to basically listen to it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, we're pretty on point in terms of, like, knowing the places where we got to, like, so, like, hey, this needs an edit. Otherwise,
what if you were so good at Marvel Rivals, you could just listen to it and know what to do? You have, an adaptive 100%. Controller and one of the Xbox ones
it's like,
you're
it's
just
like,
using.
It's like, it's on my mind. It's like the thing from X-Men. You know what I mean? Cerebro. It's just like, yeah. Yeah, so there you go. I'm probably not going to play this, but I probably wasn't going to, regardless of how the reviews were.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it feels like homework.
Yeah.
I'm playing Metaphor. That's enough homework for me.
That is homework and then some. Speaking of, have you played? You played more of it, I assume, a little bit.
Yeah,
while
yeah.
You were sick,
I beat the Dragon Temple.
Oh,
and then they kind of kick you out of it, and they're like, "All right, do more shit. You have 14 days to do it." And I'm like, "Gah, just want to make more friends." But I can't find my friend links, and I'm trying to find a stew recipe so I can make the weather nicer, so I can get to this island and fight a bird. There's also a Cyclops that I need to fight, but I think it's a little over my level right now.
So are you, I imagine you're sticking with it, getting through.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You have to be over halfway, right?
I'm telling you, I like the game. Don't get me wrong. I like the game. The clock is unnecessary.
Like the day system?
The day system is unnecessary. I think...
Interesting.
I understand why it's there, because you have to make choices, but the choice shouldn't be hang out with your friends or be significantly underleveled that you can't do anything in the game.
that's fair.
That doesn't seem to be the choice I want to make. But I did some grinding in the dungeon when I was just sick. I'm like barely breathing in bed, and I'm just sitting there. There's these crystals that spawn infinite enemies. So I just stood there with my mage character, and I just kept hitting the A button, and everything that came near me would just die. I did that for about two hours, came level 50, and now the game's easy again. Pro tip. Find those crystals, hit A.
I did see when people when I was looking at is it possible to do the platinum in a single run with this? And someone was like, eventually you have to kill a certain amount of humans, but you can just get into this one area where they just keep spawning. You just hit them and you don't get into the combat with them.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley, Justin. Me and Elena playing a lot, and then I also made my own save.
Okay, so are you doubling it? You're using that adaptive controller Cerebro playing in one system?
Yeah, no, it's because I was I'm going to, I've got some plane rides and stuff. Did not pick up Fire Emblem. It was a little too pricey for me.
Oh, shit. That was a missed opportunity. I was supposed to look.
Why?
I was going to look for you.
Do you have a physical copy of it?
I might. That was what I was going to check. Can you please just text me after this and I will look for you?
Oh, I'm leaving tomorrow at 8 a.m.
So that won't happen then.
It can't happen. But I appreciate the the thought, the effort.
That was a fail on my part.
That's all good. You've been sick, my friend.
Yeah.
But so I'm gonna just play a bunch of that on the plane. And I also think I might try Hollow Knight again.
Yeah, I think time to get lost in the middle of nowhere without a guide at your help.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just
enjoyable.
See what I can do. We'll see. Justin, you wanna talk about the news?
Oh yeah, let's get into it.
Justin, breaking. Forgot to ask you. You've been sick, so you've been off your game. Hot dog count last week was 32. What are you at right now, my friend?
I'm at a sad, unfortunate 40.
Uh-huh. You should be studied, my friend.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Can I say, there's these sweet hot dogs in the Philippines. They're like bright red. I'll have some report back to you.
Okay, let me know.
Sorry to make this all about the Philippines, but I'm leaving in 12 hours.
That's pretty insane.
I know.
But fun.
Oh yeah. We'll talk all about it when I get back. Justin, GTA 6, are you familiar with this game?
Is it the one when you are a unicorn and then you're trying to run away from other mice?
No, it's where you... It's a violence game. It's a crime game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so GTA 6, I'm just going to read you this tweet here from Mr. Jeff Keighley. Mr. Game Awards himself. In its quarterly earnings, Take-Two has once again stated that Grand Theft Auto 6 is planned for release in fall 2025. So it seems like they are certainly leaning into it and certainly sticking with it and saying hey, no, we are still, on track for this. Because I know that was sort of called into question because we just haven't heard much about this thing. Does that change anything for you this year? I know you are a GTA fan. I imagine you'll play this at launch, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
I probably would too.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game. I think every single Grand Theft Auto game I've played has gotten better. I think the games themselves are like Grand Theft Auto. First one I played was 3. I don't think that's a really good game. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not a very good game.
Interesting.
Then I played Vice City, got a little better. Then I played Grand Theft Auto 4, kind of liked it. Grand Theft Auto 5, I think it's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
I think this game is going to be even better. And then if you kind of pepper in Red Dead Redemption in
I was gonna
that
say,
stuff too,
yeah.
I think Red Dead Redemption 2 still right now is one of my top 5 games of all time. Really, in terms of being one of my favorite things, even though it's like a very intentional game. But I think one of the things about Grand Theft Auto versus Red Dead Redemption is that I'm a fucking cowboy. Where do I got to go?
Right.
I can walk around like I got something stuck up my butt and be fine with it, you know? But like, it's sometimes in Grand Theft Auto when you're like walking around like an NPC, you know, just like lumbering around, it feels a little slow. So I'm hoping this one feels a little bit more modern in terms of its just feel on the sticks.
Everything I've heard about Grand Theft Auto 5 specifically is that like, hey, maybe you don't go and play that today. Maybe wait for 6 or play Red Dead Redemption 2, because people are like, that is a game from 2013 and it feels like it. And yes, it's gotten the polish and you know, the spit shine and whatever. But that is not a game that is necessarily going to feel super modern to play. And if you're looking for something like that, yeah, Red Dead.
I'm surprised, like when I went back to play it a year or two ago when I started playing a little bit of GTA Online, like I actually felt like it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, which I know is not like a ringing endorsement.
It's not, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, you know? Like it felt better than I thought it would, because I think in my head I felt worse than it was, but the story itself is a fun, I think it's a really cool thing what they do with that story. You know how like the narrative works in it, right?
In Red Dead 2?
No. In
GTA 5.
GTA 5. How you have...
It like, jumps your, around between three guys, right?
You have your three main characters, and like you kind of start off with one of them, and then you meet another one, and then you can kind of jump back between the two stories, and then you get the third character, and they all have like this like connection with each other, but then you can basically pop into them at any point. And they do these funny things where you like, all right, I want to be Trevor now. So you're walking around as Michael, and then it'll like pop up, and it'll cut to where Trevor is, and because he's kind of the wild card of the group, he might be like running
like,
around naked
doing?
Or something like
yeah,
that
yeah,
or
yeah.
whatever. Like there's just like cool things about it. And I think it's a really cool way to tell that story. And like by the end, you kind of got to pick your lane with who you're supporting in a cool way. So I think they did some really neat storytelling stuff. And I do think that story holds up and it's pretty good parody. The thing that doesn't hold up is that this parody of 2012 or 2010
oh,
when the
sure,
game came
yeah.
out. So it's like a lot of like Mark Zuckerberg stuff when right now
it's like
be,
making like jokes about like Twitter, right?
Yeah. Like, now like, it's like now we talk to Elon Musk. Can you imagine what this is going to be? Like, I am so stoked to see their commentary on this world.
Yes. And that's the thing is like, I truly wonder, there's so much to talk about now. I wonder what you do. And there's also like, people said this a lot, right? They say this a lot about like, this is so dumb that if you wrote it, people would think it was dumb. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you remember, was it in like the last week of his first term when they booked it 4 seasons or something, but it was, they thought it was the hotel, but it was like some like landscaping company.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like that's in Arrested Development that yep. like,
but that
you know
was
what I mean?
America.
Like, yes, that is stupid. Ah, that's so good. But yeah, so I will be interested to see that. And also because, you know, this will be my first GTA game. I'm going to be interested to see sort of how that feels for me. It's like pretty much my first Rocksteady game, or not Rocksteady, Rockstar game. We'll talk about Rocksteady in a minute. I played Red Dead 1, but like before, I did not appreciate it or understand it, and I did not play it for very long. You know what I mean?
I played it 1.5 times. I don't like it. I think that one the story I think is really good, but the game itself is just not very good. Whereas I think again, Red Dead 2 is like a masterclass for me in terms of just being a good game, good story, good stuff, good everything. But
did you like it at the time?
Red Dead 2?
Yeah, Red Dead 1.
No. No, I played it one and a half times because I played it, got through it like about halfway, and I was like, I just can't anymore. And then once, and another time I came back and I was like, all right, I'm going to power through this and just play it and like go through it. And I didn't like, again, it's not a bad game. I'm not saying I hate it and it's a bad game. It's a classic, but I don't have this like love for it in the same way that I do for Red Dead 2. Cause I think it feels like I don't want to say a child's game. It feels amateurish compared to Red Dead, just feels like this like massive undertaking, this adult world, this amazing story, deep characters. The world is fun to explore. Red Dead 1 is just a little bit like actiony, cartoony.
Well, it's interesting too that you say that, because I feel like in general that is how most people seem to feel, at least like just from what I've observed, that like people don't really talk about Red Dead 1 as this like super like influential and you know all this stuff in the same way they talk about, you know, Vice City and GTA 3 and even GTA 4 and 5, you know what I mean? But they do talk about Red Dead 2 like that, you know, in the same ilk of those. But that game, the first one, I think, gets skipped over a lot.
I think the story of that first one, where that game, like where the mission kind of ends, like it's really kind of a beautiful game, because the story is basically like the new world is coming and getting rid of the old world. The trains are coming in, destroying the old West, and you are this former outlaw who's basically hired by the government to come back and round up and kill your old crew. How cool is that?
That's Red Dead 2 or 1?
1. Like, that's the story of 1.
It's great.
Like, that's an awesome start. And then you basically go back and you meet your whole posse, and one by one you just start picking them off. And you every time you meet one, you have these confrontations with them that is kind of just like, what went wrong? Why are you doing this? And then when you get to the end of the game, like, how that story concludes is just like, again, it's perfect. The gameplay, though, is that cartoony, actiony, old kind of Grand Theft Auto stuff. And there's so many like side stuff with it that just, it doesn't flow in this way that feels like mature, even though the story itself is, I think, a brilliant story. And I think Grand Theft Auto does a pretty good job of, even with its like goofiness on the outside, at the heart of them, specifically starting with like Vice City, starts to really create an interesting, good story to them. But then I think Red Dead Redemption 2, you basically, it's the prequel. You are the posse that you destroy.
Oh, see, that's cool. Because I knew that the main character was in it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was sort of the framing. That's so kind of cool.
It's like you get to know all of them when they were like all friends and they're tight before they fracture. Why do they fracture? What breaks them apart? And it's still kind of like living in that old West in a way that's not destroyed. I think the two games themselves, like the story of them, are really cool. But like for me, like the second one is just, again, top game of all time for me.
Okay, cool. I want to try it. I know we've talked about like, we've talked about like at some point, like we should both play a game that we've been meaning to play. That's like one of those big, like long games, like over the course of a year, and kind of talk about it. And like, maybe we could choose it for each other. And I know you would either choose that or Fire Emblem Three Houses for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's something that I would love to try, I think, but it would probably take something like that for me to actually sit down and do it.
What'd you choose for me?
What would I choose for you? Long games. Best long games.
Both of mine are like 100-hour epic shits. You'd probably force me to play Persona 5.
Maybe, but here's the
force
thing.
Is
like,
the wrong
I was thinking,
word, but.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about, like, I would probably have said Elden Ring.
Mm.
But at this point now you've played it. Oh, Skull and Bones.
Fuck, don't do that to me. We go very different directions with our games. I'm gonna give you like one of my favorite games of all time. You're gonna fucking give me Skull and Bones.
I have a code sitting in my inbox for Skull and Bones.
It's been there for how many years?
It's a pre-alpha.
I got it
2 weeks ago and I was like, maybe I will download this, give this a shot.
Can you play that on the Switch?
Can you?
Probably not. Break it.
I'm like, I'm on a list on Game Rant or like Death Stranding. See, like I should get that. I should try that.
Mm.
You know what I was interested in trying, but like I think I just won't have the time for that Kingdom Come Deliverance game.
I'm close to thinking about playing it, but I think I will. I'm just going to finish Metaphor at this point. I'm very close. I think I have just a couple of like major story missions left, which will probably be like another 20, 30 hours. But I think I'm like I hit hour 52 right now. Of that game.
So I've heard it's like 80. Yeah. So like you are in the
I see the
second
end game.
Half of it.
I see the end game. I just got the a MacGuffin that hopefully will allow me to break some king's magic, you know, and hurt someone who I formerly couldn't hurt,
You know what I might say actually about a game that I would maybe have you play? Potentially Final Fantasy X.
Oh, actually, and that would be one that I think I would like to play too. Like I think that would be one of those that I just haven't played because like I know it's a little bit of what's the word
dated. It is dated.
Dated, a time consuming endeavor to play, and with it being a time consuming dated game, I haven't prioritized that.
You know what I like about that game though? You know how in like a lot of like RPGs, like you'll have an attack that's like where its whole thing is like this will kill. Like insta-kill any enemies and stuff like that. But like the bosses will be immune to those.
Yeah.
Not in Final Fantasy X.
Oh,
there's
really?
There's an optional summon you can get. Yeah, he's like it's like a samurai guy. And I killed the final boss with him like right away.
That's awesome.
And I was like, I did not think that was gonna work. I was like, oh, okay.
And I would say too, like Final Fantasy VII was one I was surprised I ever beat. But the only reason I beat it was because they have like a thing on the Switch version that I got that like basically makes your limit breaks always off, making the game that much easier.
Cool.
Like, and it's not that I didn't want to play the game. I just didn't want to grind through the game at that point.
Yeah. You also said that you can like, you can turn random encounters off, right?
Double
time it, like double speed.
Yeah, you can make it go faster, so you can like go through the world like twice as fast. So I did that with the unlimited limit breaks, and it just kind of made the game again. I could have beat it if I wanted to, but like, just makes it more fun.
Yeah, yeah. Justin, Electronic Arts. You familiar with them?
Yeah, they're my good friends.
They had something to say about Dragon Age: The Veilguard.
As we
talked about last week, it seems that the game underperformed by about 50%, which is pretty significant. And then on top of that, it was EA was having some difficulties with FC, their football game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck it's called.
El Football.
So they have had some things to think about. I'm going to read you the first little bit of this article on Eurogamer titled EA suggests Dragon Age of the Veilguard might have sold better if it was live service. By Tom Phillips. Dragon Age of the Veilguard might have sold more copies and made more money if EA had if it had been a live service game, the publisher's top brass appear to have suggested. Speaking to investors last night following the release of EA's last quarterly results, both EA boss Andrew Wilson and the company's chief financial officer suggested the game's offline one-and-done nature was to blame for it not meeting the publisher's sales expectations. In order to break out beyond the core audience, games need to directly connect to the evolving demand of players who increasingly seek shared world features and deeper engagement alongside high-quality narratives in this beloved category. So, they finally cracked it. EA finally figured it out. It should have just been a live service game, and then it would have sold better.
I don't know how, man. Like, I cannot envision how that game would be improved with a live service factor. Like, I don't think people would have bought it.
No. And I saw someone talking about this. And like, why is it that so many, oh, did you, were you muted for it?
Yeah.
Fuck. Shit. Fuck.
Keep it in, man.
I mean, there's no way I can edit around that. I mean, it doesn't matter. I saw someone saying, like, you know, why is it that these companies are always projecting differently, like ridiculously, you know what I mean? Saying like, oh, we're expecting this game to sell, you know, 8 million units, when it's like, dude, like maybe not, you know. And someone said, like, it's because the people coming up with the projections, they probably know that the game will not hit those projections, but they cannot project a game to be a failure.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that makes sense.
But is
you know what I mean?
Like, is it a chicken or egg situation? Is it a failure because they had the lofty expectations, or is it a failure because they didn't like make enough money?
I think it's a failure because of the budgeting.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So they said like when you're like, okay, this game's going to take us 6 years to develop and it's going to cost, you know, $300 million. Okay, that's a problem. That's a problem. You're trying to revive the Dragon Age franchise? You know what I mean?
Let's make a sequel to a game that's old and you can't play on the same console? That's smart.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that seems like a bad move, you know? That said, this is not what EA is suggesting or even, like, alluding to, but are we going to get back to an age where single player games have tacked on multiplayer elements to them?
Yes and
no. Is that what you're saying, EA? You know what I mean?
I think part of the reason why they stopped doing that is because they weren't making money.
Yeah, no, 100%. That's not what they're saying. They're saying doing like the Ubisoft, like Assassin's Creed thing, where it's just like buy the season pass and it's just like cosmetic stuff. Like 100%, they're not talking about like, and we're going to try and like grow community around this game. Like, no.
I mean, like, would the game be bad if it had like Assassin's Creed like stuff to it? I don't know. I know a lot of people complained about Assassin's Creed that it felt like the upgrade stuff that you had to do in it was so like weirdly segmented that you had to pay money in order to like progress at a normal rate in it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally didn't have that experience because I just did all the side quests and shit like that, so it was like fine. But like, is that how they think the game would be better?
Right.
Because I think at the core of Assassin's Creed, the problem with the game is not that the game is bad. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
I think with Dragon Age, that game was just broken and they put it together to a way that turned out to be okay. The game is okay. It's not a bad game. It's an okay game.
Yeah, 100%. I think that game struggled to find a wide audience.
Right.
You know, and that game was not, I don't think, going to be this huge blockbuster game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was going to sell like crazy because of what it is. I think Mass Effect will. I think Mass Effect is of a different status than Dragon Age, you know? But both just like culturally and then also just like within games, like people go crazy for Mass Effect. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think we talked about this last week. I don't know if Mass Effect 4 ever comes out.
Well, it already did come out.
Well, I mean, it's a good game. But like Mass Effect 4 proper, right?
Yeah,
like the next mainline entry, right?
I don't know if BioWare survives this.
I mean, it sounds like a lot of them have not.
Right. Like, I think that's the scarier thing about it. But at the same time, is BioWare what the Mass Effect was? It's not the same BioWare at this point. It's
no, of course not. Unfortunately, all those people have moved on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if they'd only made it into a live service game, I wish someone would have thought of that.
I know. Ha, geez, what a silly idea.
I know. I guess it's just that thing, too, but, like, it's exactly what we're saying though. Like, what does that even mean? A live, if this were a live service game, you mean we would just change everything about it?
completely different game?
Yeah.
I mean, the game does have a lot of like loot in it, right?
Sure.
Like, I think you said the Assassin's Creed model, I think that's what they wanted. Like, you could get different like skins and outfits for your characters. You want to make your tab.
Like Christmas events and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Is that good or bad?
It's a good idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, make them look like reindeer.
Yeah, put a little Christmas lights on like your home base. I don't know anything about Dragon Age Veilguard. Did you finish that game or did you just...
I just kind of was like... the game, again, it didn't do anything bad for me. I was just kind of like, it's fine. I know where this is going. Yep. I don't feel compelled to keep going with it. I actually think I got more into Metaphor, to be honest.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's also like, from what it sounds like, a game that like really chooses something to be as opposed to just kind of like, you know, just general fantasy, but it sounds like we're talking like Dragon Age Veilguard was bad. I mean, I know you liked it, you know, maybe it was on your top 10.
It's a fine game. Like, it's an okay game. I just like the world and the story of Metaphor better, and it's compelling me to play it more, even though there's still frustrations with the game. I still like the game and like I want to play it more, but
yeah. Doesn't rock steady.
Oh, they are good friends.
Did you see, I don't know if we talked about this on the show, did you see how they ended Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, like the final cutscene?
No.
You didn't see this? Okay, so it was like still like cel-shaded animation, or not cel-shaded animation, it was like still like 2D animation. The final cutscene was like a bunch of like 2D like animation stuff. And then turns out that the entire Justice League was clones. And so they were not actually killing like the main Justice League. They were killing a bunch of clones, and like everyone's just like totally fine. So the Arkhamverse Batman was not killed by them. He's still fine. He's still alive.
Which I guess is fine. I mean, I figured something like that would have been happening so you could eventually play these characters, because this game was going to be a success, right?
Obviously. I mean, they made a live service, so why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it had to have been like a successful game. Are people mad by that?
People were, but it's the thing about like, why do you care?
Yeah, you didn't play the fucking game, I bet.
It's like a few things for me. Like, one, you didn't play the game. Two, like, yeah, like, why do you care if something that wasn't good continued to be bad?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But Rocksteady apparently is working on a single-player Batman game. Unclear if it's in the, like, Arkham universe or whatever, but this is according to Bloomberg, but I'm reading it through VGC because I'm not paying for that shit.
I ain't paying for that.
So Rocksteady is back working on a single-player Batman game, it's claimed by Jordan Midler. According to Bloomberg, as a part of a report explaining what each of Warner Brothers game studios is currently working on, it's claimed that the studio, which made its name with the Batman Arkham franchise, is going back to work on the Batman license. Quote, Rocksteady is looking to return to Batman for a single-player game, but according to people familiar with the timeline, the new project is years away from landing. That would make sense, right? I mean, they just finished, I guess, Suicide Squad. So like, yeah, move on, make something new. Obviously we're years away from that coming out, but I think that would make sense for them to return to Batman in some way or another. I fell off the Arkham games. Like to me, it's one of those things where like, is more always going to be better? But I mean, like, I do know that those games were successful and people did like them. So like, I liked Arkham City and Arkham Asylum a lot, but
I hope they're actually getting a chance to make this, and it's not just going to be like your Suicide Squad fails going to be the end of it. You know what I mean? Like, I really hope they do get another chance to do something that they should do, that mm-hmm. they want to do. And I hope they're not just doing it to be like, this is the only thing we can do. I hope they have a good idea for what they want to do with it, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah, you hope that, yeah, it's exactly what you're saying, though, right? Like, that they said, hey, we want to make a new Batman game, and not, hey, make a new Batman game.
Like, this was the Batman game they wanted to make while they were told they had to make a live service game. And they're like, okay, we'll put this one down until we can, but let's just make the game you're making us make here with the Suicide Squad. But mm-hmm. I still think there's a lot of fun stuff in the Suicide Squad game. There's like fun elements of it, but when it's all put together, the game just didn't like mix right. And it was very repetitive and simple, but like, I thought like the shooting was kind of fun. The characters were kind of fun. So I think they know how to make a good game still. And as annoying as some of the characters could be, I thought they were kind of unique and fun. And the highlight of that game was whenever you had a kill a clone, I guess, kill a Justice League member. Like those parts were always a highlight, fun part. So I'm hoping they still have some tricks up their sleeves and they can make a good Batman game.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I do know that a lot of, we were talking about this with Dragon Age, like, I know that a lot of people who worked on those original games are no longer at those studios. However, I think prior to Suicide Squad, Rocksteady was doing good work, right, with the other Arkham games. So, like, I think people are open to playing another one of these, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as it's not like injected with like the live service, like kind of garbage of it all, like I think people will be a lot more receptive to that.
I swear to God, if it is.
I mean, because right, like that's the thing, like if they just are like, oh, well, like the problem was that it was Suicide Squad and not right. that it was.
If that's the lesson they take from it, like, oh, if it was more Batman.
I did see someone saying something about like, it's so wild that I'm trying to say, like, think how to say it, like, it's so wild that the Suicide Squad is being pushed in the way it's being pushed by WB. Because like someone like sort of like likened it to like Guardians of the Galaxy became something big. Like they were always a thing, but they became something really big when that movie came out, you know. Yeah. But then like it, like how big that movie was, like it instantly made those characters iconic. So it makes sense that they would get a video game. It makes sense that they would get, you know, like I'm sure some TV show or this, that or whatever. Whereas like with Suicide Squad, it's like this is such a weird push. Obviously, it's like the answer to the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, but it's like just not as successful. And it just like always feels like weird that this is the thing
they're
like
forcing
it
over and over again. They have just two movies of it. There's the games, the properties, everything like that.
Right.
I still think the what was the John Cena thing again? The Peacemaker.
The Suicide Squad. The Peacemaker show.
Like Peacemaker is the only good thing I can take from any of this stuff. Cause that was like legitimately a fun time with a fun story. But that was like a spinoff of a side character of the Suicide Squad that wasn't even like the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Did you like that movie? I liked it.
It was fine, but like I wouldn't say it's like
I've never thought about it again. Yeah, I liked it. Like, I thought it was fun.
Like
but.
they did a good job with it, but like it wasn't like an amazing movie. It was like, okay, you did make a Suicide Squad movie I hated.
Yeah. I'll say that Superman trailer looks pretty good.
I can only hope, but also I don't have faith.
Well, you know,
you gotta have
on my planet, faith, the symbol faith, means
you gotta have hope. Faith. You gotta have faith. You
and then
gotta
but I'm
have
saying
faith,
that, and faith, my faith. Mouth looks you like gotta it's have been, like,
faith,
CG'd
faith,
on.
Faith. You on. Gotta have faith. You gotta
Justin's
have faith.
Justin's sleepy
to faith,
today.
Faith.
Justin needs a nap.
I need a nap. I'm just thinking George Michael right now. I don't know what's going on.
All from Arrested Development. In the same report. I'm going to read you this tweet from Okami 13 on Twitter. Wonder Woman from Monolith Productions was reportedly rebooted in early 2024. This is a quote from the article. The game has already cost more than $100 million to make and is still years away from release if it ever comes to market. I mean, that thing was teased in what, 2020, 2021? So yeah, like 4 years. Like if this game were sort of had a healthy development cycle and was coming along without, you know, major issue, we probably would have been hearing about this thing by now, you know?
Oh yeah.
But they've been working on this for 7 years at the very least, based on when their last game came out. Monolith made the Shadow of Mordor games.
Mordor.
Mordor. They got to roll the R's, both of them. To me, this is not a game that I have been waiting up for. I just don't really care about Wonder Woman. I don't really care about a lot of these DC heroes. In fact, I don't really care. Like, I'm not really big on superhero video games all that much. But I do like Monolith. However, I think the thing that really hits me about that quote is like, if it ever makes it to market, which is exactly what we're feeling about, you know, Mass Effect. And like, that's how I feel about a lot of these games that are like announced so early where you're like, I just don't know if this is ever going to even happen. You think about like, remember that Knights of the Old Republic remake that was like just disappeared?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, the game already cost $100 million. Like, I don't think any company can like keep bleeding that kind of money. I mean, Sony freaking Concord, like,
yeah.
They spent however much many millions on that game and they ended up cutting it after a couple weeks of being out, which I still can't believe that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand the like cost. What's that word? There's a phrase for it, like sunk cost fallacy.
Sunk cost, yeah.
You know, because like, again, they have put the work, like a lot of like the pre-production work into this game. I'm sure if they had to reboot it, right? Like, they've got the concept art. They've got like a lot of like the ideas. Probably, I'm sure a script is. In there somewhere, you know what I mean? It's like they have like, I'm sure they have something that is usable, but the actual development of the game, now that's you know, a little bit more of a problem. I wonder at what point is 2025, you think, the year when like something breaks in the industry and like the budgets just like get smaller again?
No, because there's always going to be the ones that make the money and people are going to want to chase that and try to match that, but they won't be able to, and then companies will just keep falling. I mean, Naughty Dog comes out with a property. I'm sure that game will be great.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, Rockstar, their GTA 6 is coming out this year. That's going to move the industry forward, allegedly, not in terms of like how you or I view it, but how companies view it and how much money they can make from games. And they're going to keep trying to strive for that. When they see how much GTA 6 costs, they're going to maybe not pay that much, but they're going to keep putting money into it and be like, you know how we solve this? More money. And that's not how you fix problems. You can fix some problems with more money, but you...
Yeah, like if the problem was I don't have enough money. Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, the thing is for me, like, I just think that, like, at a certain point, these AAA studios that are not, like, first party or whatever are going to just, like, start running into that issue, right? About, like, we do not have the incentive to make games this expensive because who cares? You know, the problem, though, is that it's all linked to the hardware, right? Like, the hardware on the PS5 and Xbox Series X is meant for higher graphical fidelity. You know, it's meant for so that you can see the pores on Kratos' face and see the pores on... I'm looking at this image from the Wonder Woman teaser. Like, it looks like you can see the pores on her face. Maybe it's just like the film grain. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is the point of these, this hardware. And so if you cannot achieve that look on the hardware, people talk about it. Even though, you know, we've talked about, like, I don't really care what a game looks like if it's a fun game. 1000 Times Resist looked like it was made in MS Paint. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like what, like, it looked like Lincoln Logs, or not Lincoln Logs, Playmobil. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was not, it was not like a particularly good looking game, but it told a really good story and had something to it. You know what I mean? And if you can do that, then I think it, people don't really care, but people do care. You know, it's the problem is like mainstream gamers really do care, but.
And on top of all that, I also think superhero, like, games, movies, everything like that are kind of going out of, like, pop culture style.
Yeah, a little,
like,
bit, right?
Like, it's not, like, a new Marvel movie comes out, like, they're showing the Thunderbolt trailer at the Super Bowl, and I was like, this looks like just garbage. It's like nonsense.
Yeah, it's like, fine. Whatever.
Like Saturday morning cartoons or a Transformer movie. You know what I mean? Like, nothing, yeah. Like, nothing, like, special. Even the Captain America movie, I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah, that one doesn't look great. I'll say I liked the trailer for the Fantastic Four.
Maybe. Who knows? But like...
But that's the thing. It's yeah. Like, don't worry. I've been fooled before.
Yeah,
like,
they can cut a good trailer. Pedro Pascal.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
If I only were to lose you...
You know, I thought it wasn't great casting when they announced it. But then in the trailer, I was like, oh, I see this.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think he works. I mean, he's charming. He's...
Yeah. Oh yeah, and hey, Last of Us season 2 is coming out. This stoked. Year.
White Lotus season 3 next weekend. You pumped for
Did
that
you see,
one?
Oh, White Lotus season 3 written by
Survivor's very own.
Directed Survivor runner up. Yeah.
Runner
one of
up.
The best seasons. One of the best scenes of the past 10 years.
Yeah.
But did you see Neil Druckmann was like, yeah, we decided not to make Abby jacked because the story is more about the characters. And I was like, her being jacked was the character. Neil.
It's kind
of
like she's
excuse
a weapon.
Me, Neil.
Neil. Well, also, I bet they're like, all right, we're going to give you a bunch of creatine, some whey like, protein.
I hope you like chicken and broccoli.
And she's like, fuck no.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like whatever. Like, it's honestly, like, the character doesn't need to look like they do in the game. But... I think it's, I understand that people expect that, so he's going to have to say something about it. But I do think that the reasoning is silly to say, well, it's more about the characters, because the answer is, well, her being yoked was the character, right? Like, it was a physical manifestation of her, like, obsession, right?
I don't know. I just can't imagine, like, someone doing that.
No. I also think, too, like, I bet that, who's the person who plays... Ellie, Bella Ramsey, and then Caitlin Dever, the girl who plays
Dave.
She also plays your daughter in Uncharted 4.
I don't have a daughter.
In Uncharted 4, Justin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She, like, I bet they're around the ages, because, like, Ellie and Abby are supposed to be, like, 19, 20, but, like, just in the stills, it looks like kids doing a school play.
I mean, they do. I mean? They do look like kids, and I think
yes.
That's one thing too. That kind of I think with the graphical upgrades of like the PS4 3 to the PS4, I can kind of buy a little bit. Like just graphical fidelity makes Ellie look a little bit older, even though she's really not that much older. You know what I mean? Like I can buy that a little bit more. And like even with Abby, I feel like Abby seems older than 19 in that game. And it's probably because she's 100%. Yoked, but.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, like, we'll see. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe I'll think it's amazing.
I doubt it.
I'm going in with the I'm going in with an open mind. I'm willing to be proven wrong. There are plenty of things that like I didn't like the first one of, and then like the second one comes out, I'm like, whoa, what happened here?
Yeah.
Things like and here's a great example. I thought I was really not going to like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I liked it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I liked it.
It's a good game.
I went in with an open mind.
Open mind.
I thought I wasn't going to like that movie Transformers 1. And I walked out being like, this had the fucking sauce.
No. I didn't like Monster the first like 30, 40 times I drank one.
The drink. Oh, I see. And now look at you.
Now I haven't drank one in 4 years.
Because it became a problem.
Because it became a problem.
I'm proud of you.
It became like an identifying characteristic of me, which I think is pretty sad.
Yeah. Justin, over the weekend, the PlayStation Network was down. It significantly down. It was down for, I think, 24, 25 hours, which is pretty significant. It was on the 7th, so Friday through Saturday. It was down. Yeah, like that's pretty bad. There's the Ask PlayStation is one of like the official channels for PlayStation's like fielding their feedback and network issues and stuff. And so they tweeted network services have fully recovered from an operational issue. We apologize for the inconvenience and thank the community for their patience. All PlayStation Plus members will automatically receive an additional 5 days of service. So they're refunding people for 5 full days. It was down for 1 day. A lot of people are saying like 5 days. Wow. That's it. Wow. What do you think of that?
Okay, thanks. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, you know,
I don't understand why people are mad about it. I'm like,
I think people are.
You wanted a full month? What are you talking about?
People are mad because ultimately they don't trust this outage. I mean, this is the longest outage since the data hack, right?
Are you talking about the one in 2011?
Yeah, the 2011 one, right? Yeah. So
that was 2 weeks, right?
That was a huge one, but I think part of that is like people are assuming there was some nefarious stuff that was happening with that,
mm-hmm.
and they were inconvenienced by it, and we're only getting 5 days free for that, which probably comes out to like $1.50.
It's $30 a month. Yeah, something like that.
Two English majors doing math on the podcast is riveting.
It's just truly unfortunate. But you said it and it sounds right enough.
I mean, again, like it's, I think you didn't have to do that. I do like think that like people are mostly upset with not knowing why and being worried it was another data breach at the time. But like, again, it was like a day.
Yeah.
And you got 4 more days of that. And I'm sorry if your Friday night with the boys was interrupted by this. Why don't you pick up your phone? Call them. Phones weren't down.
Dude, that's true. Yeah. You know, we're so worried about the PlayStation. But like, when's the last time you played with your station? No. No. That's similarly. I did see some people though, actually, like the real complaint about this is realizing like, holy shit, internet connection is literally 100% essential for video games, right? Like, there's an article on polygon.com talking about like, I was trying to play, like Top Spin 2K21 or whatever, like one of the recent golf games, tennis. And, they couldn't play, like the game was inoperable. Like even the solo stuff like was grayed out on the menu. You had to be connected to the internet to play that game. They tried to do the same thing with 2K, whatever, some basketball game, same issue. And then they gave up and they were like, fine, I'm going to play Dishonored. I've been meaning to play that for a while. Turned on their PlayStation Portal, hopped in bed. Doesn't work because it needs PlayStation Network. And so it's that thing about just like, hey, like, here's the thing, Sony. If you want to start selling your consoles without disk drives and making them completely making games completely inoperable if you do not have an internet connection. You need to make sure that shit is tight as like it's got to hold water. You know what I mean? It's got to be airtight. Because otherwise, like, that's when you start to get into, like, in my opinion, a really huge problem. You know what I mean?
I mean, I found out about this because I was sick on Friday. So, like, when I was I was playing Metaphor, just kind of grinding, I masked up and went to work after work to do some after work stuff. And I came back and I needed to decompress. My brain was on at this point. I needed to like decompress before I went to bed. So I tried to put my portal on. It wasn't working. And I was like, the fuck, why isn't this working? And then I saw like that the network was down. And I was like, well, why? I'm playing Metaphor, but I can't access my portal while the PSN's down because that's how it connects, which is also kind of silly and weird to a certain point. So, I mean, I think that is fair for anything, but there are like, I mean, there's outages for Wi-Fi still.
Right. Yeah, it's
I
fair.
Mean, there's outages. I can't think when's the last time there was a Xbox outage. July.
Is that right?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just looking here. Yeah, July, early July, there was a huge outage and stuff like that. Huge outage. I don't know. There was an outage in July, it looks like. But I mean, I think it's just one of the worries about this kind of digital age that we're living in now. Something like this is going to happen more and more. And as hackers and people are getting better at their craft, it's only going to, you know, make it more difficult for any company to keep their stuff online. And it's just kind of worrisome, like with all our information that's out there. And have you ever gone on like Google and like looked at your like passwords and they're like 40 compromised passwords and you're like, fuck.
Yes. Just like, okay. Yeah.
With my school account, we're supposed to like every year change our password. But here's a secret, Peter. I haven't changed my fucking password at my work since I got hired. I've been working there for like 13 years.
It's just so much, right? Like it makes sense.
And then like I legitimately got like hacked to a point where people started to like purchase stuff.
Oh, really? Oh, that's like, okay. Now, Justin, yes, you should be changing your password.
So then I had to change my password. They're like, when did you change this last? They're like, 2012? Like, why didn't you change this every year? I was like, I don't know. But.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, though.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Sony actually owes me a new game because they ruined my Friday night. I couldn't play this to decompress before bed. I had to fall asleep to the hum of it trying to connect.
Right. I had to call my friends on their landlines.
Oh my God.
We were playing, you know what we were doing? We were playing chess over the phone.
We had to bring our Xboxes
and then to each other's houses.
To each other's houses. And then we hooked two up in the basement.
Yeah.
And then we realized we only had one Duke controller. So we all had one hand on it. And there was still plenty of room for a bunch of other people to be on there because that controller is so fucking big. It's a huge controller. But together we controlled that Master Chief. We took him places
I like to think that if you die and you go to heaven, it's just a basement LAN party with a lot of Jets pizza. But I wouldn't give. Take me back.
And like you were never tired.
Never tired.
Never once.
It's a lot of Halo 3. What a game. What a time.
Man.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that we are running into issues with the digital age. I think that's just where we're at. And I worry about preservation for the future. We've talked about this. I've like started leaning more into buying digital games because I'm just like, I know that the PlayStation 6 will not have a disc drive. I know that the Xbox, whatever, the next one, will not have a disc drive. Or if it will, it'll cost me an extra $100. And like, an extra $100 on top of the $700 it's going to cost is not feasible for me. Right. So we'll sort of have to see with all of that, but, it's making me nervous. Cause I'm also just like at a certain point it's going to break, right? Like at a certain point, those games are just going to disappear. And I don't think that Sony, Microsoft, anyone has thought about digital preservation in that sense. So
we've all seen Attack on Titan. We know that eventually all of our technology will get destroyed. And then society will rise back up, but it'll be like a little bit of like a weird society with like giant monster titan things running around naked trying to eat us, looking for the founding titan. And that then there'll be some really cool people like us who have these like cool abilities to like really go move faster than everyone else. And we're all Levi's in this situation. We're all Ackermans in this situation, though. So
I'm worried that you took away the wrong message from Attack on Titan. Shit. I think, you know, this is a bit of a short one, but I think that's going to do it for us this week. Reminder, we are going to be gone for 2 weeks here. So we will catch you back. So let's see here. This is going up on the 12th. We are going to miss the 19th and the 26th. We will see you in March then. Isn't it wild that in 2 weeks, I guess it's really in 3 weeks it'll be March, but 2 weeks from the time this episode goes up. Oh, I guess that is still 3 weeks. 1, 2, 3. What I'm getting at is March is around the corner. And that's wild. Because it feels like the year just started.
I can't tell you how much I have to do in those 3 weeks. It's scary.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you know what you don't have to do? Record a podcast for 2 weeks.
I guess that's true. I will reserve this time to just do all the work I have to do.
See, and that's exactly how much time it takes, right?
Yeah.
All right. If you want to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/hitboxpod. Again, our thank you to our Patreon producers, our deluxe Patreon producers, rather, Jay Noel, GKS, and Josh Durham. If you want to join them, patreon.com/hitboxpod. If not, that's fine. Join us on Discord. Link to that is in the description of this episode. Follow us on Twitter at hitboxpod. Rate this episode, new podcast player choice. Am I forgetting anything, Justin?
Peter, everything please that you thought had meaning, every hope, dream, or moment of happiness, none of it matters as you lie bleeding out on the battlefield. None of it changes what a speeding boulder does to a body. We all die. But does that mean our lives are meaningless? Does that mean that there was no point in our being born? Would you say that of our slain comrades? What about their lives? Were they meaningless? They were not. Their memory serves as an example to us all. The courageous fallen, the anguished fallen, their lives have meaning because we, the living, refuse to forget them. And as we ride to certain death, we thrust our successors to do the same for us. Because my soldiers do not buckle or yield when faced with the cruelty of this world. My soldiers push forward. My soldiers scream out. My soldiers rage.
Dude, it was crazy when Kendrick did that at the halftime show. Oh, gosh. It's that. Sorry if I may. It's that scene and King Theoden saying, death.
It's a good scene. That's a great scene.
Same vibes in like full body chills. Yeah. All right, we'll catch you next week. Always remember, not next week, fuck, in March. Always remember, old games are old. Bye.
Bye. I'll stop recording.